Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio by Tom Park, and we have Paul Binfield from Paddy Power on the line as well. It was a very dramatic and eventful weekend. Plenty of racing, whether you're into the flat, the jumps, the turf, the dirt, whatever it is that you like. And we're going to have a look back at Ascot first, because that was sort of the epicentre of all the drama. With the incident on the screen behind us, we had Diego de Charmy come into the last in the listed 2-mile handicap chase, all but taking out Capeland. And Capeland subsequently disqualified Diego de Charmy, kept the race under Lorcan Williams. Park, it's divided a lot of people, this, with the rules. You know, is it unfair that Capeland was chucked out? Should Diego de Charmy have won the race? Did he jump the fence as far as the rules go? What are your thoughts on it?
I think what was amazing about the incident is nobody actually knew the rules of...
No.
I mean, the presenters and everyone was talking about it after, going, well, has he jumped the fence or not? Does it count jumping down the side of the wing? My opinion is, I think that the horse did jump the fence, remarkably. I mean, he's kind of jumped the tall bit. It is very...
I'm just looking at it behind you. It's still hard to believe.
It is amazing what happened. I am surprised it's not happened. I've never seen this happen before. And the anoraks were even like, we've never seen this before. I think the rules will change. They're going to have to come out and be clear about this so something like this doesn't happen again. You'd feel very aggrieved if you were the owners of Capeland.
I interviewed yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder whether the stewards would have had it, and it shouldn't matter, but because they were both trained by Paul Nicholls, they're coming from the same yard, I get that they're different owners, that might have just played a little bit into Diego de Charmy's favour. Look, the rules are, as long as they deemed Diego de Charmy to jump the fence, they can't really chuck it out because he's not affected the horses that eventually finished second and third. I think that Capeland probably would have won the race. What's amazing is Diego de Charmy's kind of had a history of throwing the towel in a finish, and he's come to a standstill there and actually rallied, which is amazing, really. It was a very difficult thing to kind of work out, really. I think the stewards got it right. It's very unfortunate for the connections of Capeland. Providing the horses come out of the race, I thought that was a really big performance first time out from Capeland. I think he probably would have gone on to win. I think he'd be even better at stepping back up in trip. And I'd like to see them go for the Bet Victor. I know that they mentioned it yesterday when you were speaking to them, but they also said they could come back for a similar race at Ascot. I think there's a bet in the Bet Victor, and that is a horse who was probably, he's only rated 143. I think the top 10 in the market are all in the 150s. And if he was to come to race in that, I think he'd probably have a good chance off that kind of mark. He's proved himself well handicapped there. I think he'd probably gone on to win the race, and maybe that would be some justice for the connections.
Yeah, indeed. Like I say, I spoke to Cathy Stewart yesterday, and understandably it wasn't one of the greatest sort of races she's ever seen. But fingers crossed we can get a change of look for Capeland next time. I mean, as you said, going by the rules, technically he didn't really jump a fence. He didn't have a choice in it. But he didn't. So what else can you do? Who knows? We'll keep our eyes peeled to see if they review the incident further this week. The BHA. We'll move on to the rest of the action at Ascot then. And Vindication was the main horse, Binners, who staked his Gold Cup claims even at this early on in the season by winning off a mark of 1-5-1, and just a really likeable performance. Some jump at the last.
Yeah, brilliant to see Kim Bailey back with a lovely horse, Vindication. He jumped really well. We've made him 33-1 for the Gold Cup, Maddie. And a superb ride from David Bass.
Yeah, he always tends to do very well on these front runners. Parky, I'm going to be a bit unfair now and shoehorn another horse we saw on Saturday, because he is in the Gold Cup market in Lost in Translation. Lots of people talking about him. Obviously, we've still got a lot to see this season. We're going to touch on Retrospect in a minute, but what are your thoughts on the sort of 3-mile division that we've seen so far?
Yeah, it's very exciting, isn't it? I think coming out of last season, the initial thoughts of the Cheltenham novice races was that the RSA was probably a very, very strong race and probably the strongest of the two.
Yeah.
The way that the form is developing, it's starting to look like that JLT was really red hot. I mean, Lost in Translation was obviously beaten by Defi de Searle. I think the Kildisart's gone and won a big handicap at Aintree. I know he was a little bit disappointed at the weekend. Vindication was obviously spectacular at Ascot. Mengli Khan was in there. He was a bit of a disappointment, but he is massively in and out. So it looks like the race has got a little bit of substance to it. Capeland was another that's come from that race.
Yeah.
Lost in Translation was a brilliant, brilliant jumper. It was a massive performance, that. And he could go on and win everything. I think he is very, very good. The slight reservation that I would have with Lost in Translation, I think, he's got to come up against Bristol Demar, who just looks absolute beast at Haydock. I would probably back him to beat Bristol Demar. I think it would be disappointing if Lost in Translation doesn't turn out to be that good. I think he's got a very good chance in the King George. I think Kempton, that should suit him down to the ground. My worry with him in the Gold Cup is he is such an exuberant jumper and he takes off a mile. He must be using quite a lot of energy to produce all them jumps. And, you know, you don't get many Gold Cup winners that produce leaps like that. As much as we want to see Gold Cup winners like that, that might be the stumbling block this season. But it was a brilliant display first time. I thought Kildisart would give him a really good race. It was a good race, that.
Count Mirabel's no slouch either.
Count Mirabel's brilliant round Carlisle as well. It was a really good performance first time out. I think he'll improve for it. And he's 50-1 in the aftermath, 33s generally, I think, for the Triple Crown. I think there are worse bets there because he could go and win everything.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to like about him. And looking forward, Defi de Searle, I mean, he's probably going to go a different way. Look, he might step back to 2 miles and that Tingle Creek might give Altior a real fright in that, because he looks top class, Defi de Searle.
Yeah. Also at Ascot, we had a good handicap hurdle over 2 miles and Gumball the winner in a thrilling finish in the end. I mean, it was just drama after drama at Ascot on Saturday, but he's a very talented horse in his day, isn't he?
He is a very talented horse. We maybe didn't see the best of him last season. Obviously, he was a very good juvenile.
Yep.
It was brilliant performance, brilliant ride. He just scraped home in the end, but look, it was a good to do that on that kind of ground. I thought it was a nice performance from Gumball, and the handicapper, I'd be surprised. It'd be interesting to see what he does, because he looked like he was going to win by 5 or 6 lengths going into the last 100 yards. He did just pull himself up. Interesting to see what the handicapper does. I think he is a handicapper, so what options he has for the rest of the season will depend on how brutal the handicapper is to him, really.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go on to Weatherby now then. We saw a good performance from Ballyoptic in with Charlie Hall. He's really got back on track now, Binners, and things didn't go to plan for him last season, but he looks a stayer on the up.
Absolutely right, Maddie. Yeah, he was unlucky in the Grand National, fell at the fourth last, but he's come good now. The soft ground probably worked in his favour at Weatherby. And we make him a 33-1 chance for the Grand National from 50, with Nigel Twist and Davis suggesting that he may go for the Betfair Chase.
Yeah, some real big guns coming out now, Parky. I mean, that race, it was tough to analyse on form because La Bagawar didn't really turn up. She didn't seem to really like the ground. And obviously, Aso was top rated. He ran a great race, but he doesn't really tend to see out 3 miles. So how do you evaluate Ballyoptic's performance?
Yeah, look, it's hard to knock him. He had the benefit of race fitness. Nigel Tristan Davis's are in really good form at the moment. And he was really well backed. I didn't see it coming, really. I quite like Topville Ben, who his effort just petered out on the running. We were going into that race, we thought it was a really good race. So you can't knock his form. I'd be a little bit... He's probably earned a right to go for something like the Betfair Chase now. He's had his problems, but look, he looks like he's back. The second Elegant Escape.
God, if he could jump a fence.
Yeah, I mean, I do just wonder whether a horse like... I'd like to see him campaign for the Grand National. I get that his jumping's the problem and you automatically think, well, a Grand National, but the fences are easier to jump now in the Grand National. He's got loads of size and scope, and he stays so well. Tiger Roll is probably going to give him a chance at the weights because, I mean, he's off 160. If they could just drop him down a few pounds this season, if they were going to campaign him for the National, he's probably going to get in off a nice weight if Tiger Roll takes his chance. And it's just the test, I think. And if it was to turn up soft at Aintree, he'd have a right chance.
Yeah, maybe with Ballyoptic winning, it is more of a Grand National sort of prospect of a race than a Gold Cup.
It's difficult with this pair because where else do you go? They're not Gold Cup horses. You've got to really look at
valuable Welsh Nationals and things.
Yeah,
like that.
Valuable handicaps, and it's difficult to win off them kind of ratings. But look, if Tiger Roll's going to be running off the high 160s, 170s, I mean, he's going to give some down the bottom of the weight to a good chance.
Yeah, exactly. Binners, I know you're a big fan of Max McNeil, and him and his family had a great winner as well at Wetherby with the World's End. I mean, could he sort of put it to Paisley Park this season?
Well, you'd love to think so, Maddie. I was rather surprised that he won on Saturday, I have to be honest. There was money for him, so I hope Max had a good bet. But my suspicion from a couple of years ago was that the World's End needed slightly better ground than what they had at Wetherby. But listen, it's brilliant that the horse has bounced back. Tom George is a brilliant trainer, done a great job. Adrian Heskin riding out of his skin for Max at the moment. They had a winner at Cheltenham last week. It's absolutely great. The World's End is in the Ladbrokes Trophy. He's 20 from 50 for that. But we put him in the Stayers Hurdle at 16-1 first show, Maddie. And let's hope he can win next time and go down to a single figure price.
Yeah, I think he equally surprised and impressed quite a few people on Saturday. So hopefully he's another package, like surprise package, that can keep going forward throughout the season. Let's go to Down Royal then now. We had their champion chase over 3 miles. And I thought even though Delta Work was a tad disappointing, Parky, this was a real race. And Road Respect, he's an early season type. He's a classy horse on his day. And he got the better of Clanders over.
Yeah, he did. I quite fancied Road Respect in this. I thought he's no meads in terrific form. The one thing that put me off having a really good bet was the ground. I thought they had a bit of rain overnight. I thought, oh, well, that's probably not helped his chance. He'd have probably had a much better chance on good ground, but he won nonetheless. I thought it was a big overreaction to push. I think Clanders Over went out to about 10-1 at one point for the King George. He's back into sevens now. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction. He ran a terrific race. As we mentioned earlier, Nichols, his runners have been coming on for the run. Every single one of them has. So expect a lot more from him in the Betfair Chase. And Delta Work didn't run his race. It's hard to... He jumped really sloppily. He was trying to be
Would you be giving up on him just yet?
Or? No, not at all. Not at all, because... He's high class.
Seem a bit ring rusty.
He just missed a few jumps. He was almost trying to be too good at his fences and he's trying to jump too economically and he just brushed through the top of a few, and it took its toll late on. He'll come on for the run and I definitely wouldn't rule out Delta Work in the Gold Cup just yet anyway.
Yeah, no, neither would I. I think definitely one to keep on side. There was Group 1 action on the all-weather at Newcastle on Friday and Kamiko came out on top with a really impressive performance, Binners, beating the Ballydoyle Battalion. And, I mean, I spoke to Andrew Boulding yesterday. He's keen to take on Pinatubo in the 2000 Guineas next year.
Yeah, that'll be a bit of fun, won't it, Maddie? There looked to be no fluke about the win at Newcastle on Friday. O'Sheen Murphy had him in a nice position and the market principals were behind him and he went on and did it very well. We think he's more of a Derby prospect than Guineas prospect. We make him 10 from 25 for the Derby, but it'll be exciting to see him at Newmarket against Pinatubo. Whether Earthlight and people like that show up, I don't know, but well done to Andrew Boulding and it's great that he's got another nice horse on his hands.
It sure is, and people are going to draw parallels with Roaring Lion. Obviously, he was placed in the Vertem behind Saxa Moria, then went on to have that illustrious three-year-old career. This was on the all-weather, which hadn't happened before. Because of that, do you sort of temper your excitement with him a little bit?
A little bit.
Because he was only second in the Royal Lodge, wasn't he?
He was. I don't think he was given the best ride. I'm sure Ocean Murphy would come out and agree with me on that. I'm sure if he had the time again, he would have won that race. Obviously, just denied by positive, was it, in the Solario Stakes. Yeah. I agree with Binners. I think he's probably more of a Derby horse than a Guineas horse. Similarly to Roaring Lion, I'd be a little concerned whether he'll see out the Derby trip and maybe the middle distances next year might be more of his thing. Look, he's high class. I mean, the switch to Newcastle obviously played to his strengths, being by Kit and Joy.
Yeah.
And the ground, if it was soft ground at Doncaster, he's probably not.
Yeah, a different story.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, quick ground in the summer on these 1 mile, two Coral Eclipse, them kind of races that Roaring Lion exceeded in. I think will probably be more up his street. But yeah. I think he'll be definitely contesting the Group 1s. That was a real performance, that.
Yeah, it was. He really stretched clear, didn't he? But very interesting horse in terms of profile, as you mentioned, that pedigree, and it was slightly different circumstances on Friday. Now, Santa Anita, the Breeders' Cup has been and gone, and the British and Irish didn't tend to have too much luck, but we did get one winner in the bag with Iridesa for Joseph O'Brien, Parky.
Yep, brilliant for Joseph. Hats off to him. I mean, God, if anyone's achieved as much as he has at 23, is he, I think? I mean, fair play. It's just amazing, really. As you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the Breeders' Cup, but I can appreciate, like, performances.
Training
like
performance.
That. Yeah, massive training performance. And I've always had a thing for Odessa. She's a very good filly. And yeah, fair play to Joseph. He's a top class trainer. And I mean, how long do we give him before he's really given his dad something to worry about? I mean, he already is. But
yep.
I think we were chatting yesterday saying that Aidan had mentioned that he if they're in a head bob, he wants Joseph's to win. I'm not sure how the Coolmore lads would feel about that. But I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
Brilliant from Joseph. I mean, he's just going to keep getting better and better and better, I think.
Yeah, he certainly is. We're going to talk about the Melbourne Cup in just a little bit. Of course, Joseph's already won that and he's got some contenders in it this year. Been as some other good performances, Bricks and Mortar. We had Vina Rosso winning the Classic, of course. What was a highlight from you from Santa Anita?
Well, it has to be Iridesa, doesn't it, Maddie? I must admit, I'd had 2 days on course at Newmarket on Friday and Saturday, and I watched the Iridesa race and then went to bed. But not straight away at 9 o'clock, but I didn't see the later races. I guess from a point of the whole meeting, it was disappointing that Magical didn't make it, but she gave us some great memories and wish her all the best in retirement. Anthony Van Dyke ran very well for Aidan against Bricks and Mortar, who was one of the well-fancied American horses. Bit disappointing from the European point of view, both in terms of quality, number and quality of runners and number of winners. But there you go. Iridesa, what a highlight. And Park is quite right. Joseph O'Brien, an exceptional young man.
Yeah, exactly. Anthony Van Dyke was quite unlucky, but I think a good takeout. We must mention Tom Collins and Graham Rodway's brother, starring tipsters. I know Tom was keen on Uni, and G-Rod's brother tipped God knows how many winners. But we got some horses. I know they mentioned that Uni could come over for the Queen Anne. That'd be quite good. Midnight Bizou, she's been sort of keeping in training, even though the plan was to sell her. I think a similar story for Bellafina. So hopefully we'll get to see some of these American horses keep reproducing what they've shown on the track. We're going to talk about the Melbourne Cup just after the break, and also some of the high-class action this week.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast, and we're going international now for the Melbourne Cup. It's at 4 a.m. on Tuesday. It's the Lexus Melbourne Cup. Over 2 miles won last year by Cross Counter, and actually plenty of last year's performers back in, hoping they can be lucky this time around. And Binners, can you give us a show of the betting? I believe Constantinople is heading the market.
Quite right, Maddie. Yeah, 13-2 heads them up. Paddy's generosity knows no bounds on the Melbourne Cup. We're paying 6 places instead of 4 on this race. After Constantinople, it's 15-2 Mare de Glace, 8-1 Finchie, 11-1 Vow and Declare, 12 last year's winner Cross Counter, along with Raymond Tusk, Il Paradiso, and it's 14-1 Bar.
Thanks, Spinners. Now, Parker, yesterday I was going through some of the Australian runners to sort of give people a lowdown, so hopefully they'll be able to see that if they're struggling with the local form. But a lot of these are sort of British, Irish trained or ex-British and Irish trained. What do you think of the race this year?
Yeah, the last few years, the British and Irish team have kind of been getting the better of things, really. It took a while to get a British runner, of course, but things are slowly turning, and I think they're probably going to hold the hand this time around. The one that I like is Prince of Arran. I just think I like the way that he's just improved with every single run this year. They've obviously been working backwards from this after his momentous run last year. He's had a better campaign this season. He's gone into the race a better horse than he went into the race last season. And I just think he's got a really good chance. I think he'd be a very popular winner.
He certainly would.
The other one that I like, because I read a stat that Tom Siegel put up in the Weekender last week, that not that the horses that run in trials have not got that good a record in the Aussie trials, have not got a good record in the Melbourne Cup. The one that I like is Twilight Payment for Mr. Magic Man Joseph O'Brien. He's only had one start for O'Brien. He was, of course, with Jim Bolger before. But he was a little bit disappointing in seventh in the Irish Ledger.
That was a funny race.
It was a really funny race. And look, they've bought the horse of the Melbourne Cup. I can't imagine that they'll have been too disappointed with the run. Got Hugh Bowman jocked up. Connections have a really good record in the race. I think he's got a good... He's a very consistent horse. I mean, he's been running the likes of Order of St. George and Stradivarius to within a length previous in his career.
He's battle hardened, isn't he? He's a little bit older. So.
He is a little bit older. And again, it sometimes goes to a younger horse, this. But I just think out of the British now, I think he's probably the one that's gone a little bit under the radar. He's just very consistent. I think six places, I mean, I'd be disappointed if he's not bang there, to be honest.
Yeah, like I say, I've been having a good look through this. It's hard to nail your colours to the mast. It's a really competitive race. I like Vow and Declare of the Aussies. Great run in the Caulfield Cup last time. Quite a few run in that Caulfield Cup. Constantinople catching a lot of people's eyes, and Mustajir as well. Even Mirage Dancer was in third that day. So Vow and Declare of the Aussies, I think, will run really well. And then Downdraft, again, you mentioned Joseph O'Brien. I think he's a really talented horse. Easily won one of the trials last time, and I think he's got a lot left to offer. So my mind's not fully made up yet, but those are the two I'll go with so far.
I'm a little bit worried about Constantinople, the way that he ran over here. He was a bit of a rascal at the finish.
I can't have him. I love that, a bit of a rascal.
Well, I backed him at Royal Ascot and I thought he was going to go and win his race there. I was cursing Ryan Moore, and then he did it again the next time. Was it Goodwood? I think he did it.
Needs to be delivered late, doesn't he?
Yeah, and look, he's had a change of scenery. Maybe that'll do the trick, but I'd be a little... He's obviously ran well in the trials.
Very talented, isn't he?
You would expect him to.
Yeah.
I'd just have liked to have seen him really see out a finish, but... Yeah, I think he's worth taking on.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. Obviously, he's got all the talent in the world, but he's clearly a bit of a thinker and he's going to need a perfect ride. And in a race as good as this, he's going to need to apply himself at the finish. Binners, I mean, Parky's already mentioned Prince of Arran. Who do you sort of rate top of your list?
Well, to be honest with you, Maddie, I need to watch your thing about the Australian horses, because I wouldn't really have much of a clue about those. So I'll have a look at that. But if I'm going to go for one, I'm going to go for Cross Counter, last year's winner. I know it's going to be harder for him this year, but let's face it, he ran some good races this year here in England. He was only beaten a length and three quarters by Stradivarius in the Gold Cup. He was two lengths behind the same horse in the Goodwood Cup. He's won group twos in abroad, and so he's very, very close to being a top class horse in his own right. And this is a handicap. So I'd love to see Cross Counter do the business again for Charlie Appleby.
Yeah, it was a brilliant win last year, wasn't it? I mean, you don't see Melbourne Cups usually won in the fashion that he did. Right, we're going to go over to the jumps now. And Exeter Tomorrow's Stage there, grade two, is the Coral Holden Gold Cup. Great race, this remarkable little horse in God's Only. Won it in 2014 and again last year. He's back, as well as Janika, Charbel, Dolos, Destria and Lawler. Layla, Lawler, we'll have that discussion some other time, Parky. Who would be your number one in this?
This is a really tricky race, one that I don't think that I'll be having a bet in, and I would love to have a bet in this race. God's
all. Pretty awesome, won it, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Q Card used to always get beaten it, which was much to my disappointment. But look, God's Own is a legend. He's 11, going on 12, but you wouldn't have known that the way that he ran against Altior last time. Tom George is in really good form, which he wasn't really last season, yet this horse still ran his races.
Yeah.
Layla goes well fresh.
I'm interested in him for sure.
Not sure whether he'll want this. I know he's won a grade one in soft ground, but over this kind of trip, the way that he won at Cheltenham last year, I just thought, oh, he's probably a bit better on better ground, really.
It's hard to know what to make of him, isn't it?
Yeah, look, Dolos, Nichols have been going on for the run. Charbel was very disappointing last time, but second time after a wind up, maybe he'd be the one that I would be inclined to back in Charbel. I can't bring myself to backing an 11-year-old who's giving weight to the majority of the field. Janica looks badly handicapped. And Charbel's the one I can probably forgive him the last run. Just remember what he did to God's Own in the Peterborough Chase last year, where he really took the race apart.
Yeah,
he'd be the one that I would side with, I think.
Yeah, he is a real hero, though, God's Own, isn't it? We love to see these old chasers come back year and year. And I think, didn't he get a bad injury or he's pulled up in a good race a couple of years ago? Thank God he's still about, because we really do appreciate seeing him on the track. Binners, do you think he can do it again? I mean, three Holden Gold Cups, that would be extraordinary.
It would be extraordinary. And what great scenes that would be, Maddie. I'd love to see him do it, but I'm siding with Parky on this one. Charbel, admittedly only seventh on his seasonal debut, but as Parky said, he's had a wind up. And also last season, he got beaten at Perth for first time out, and then he won next time at Chepstow. On the ground extra on Tuesday, I think a run may well be an advantage. So for that reason, I'm siding with Parky and going for Charbel.
Okay, brilliant. Two votes for the same horse then. One of the most exciting novice hurdlers from last season is hopefully going to be out on Thursday at Newbury, and that's Champ, well-named. He's in a novice chase, Newbury. Birchdale also entered, and countless other brilliant horses. Obviously, we've yet to see final declarations for that, Parky, but how high do you think Champ can go in the novice chase division?
I really like Champ. I've already backed him for the RSA. Taking a bit of a chance because he might go down the 2.5 mile route, but I just like the way that he just cantered all over everything at Aintree and then saw out the trip really well. What's amazing is when he won that race at Newbury, was it last year, when he kind of just... I thought, oh, he's got lots of speed. And I was thinking they
Challo,
might...
Challo, was it?
The Challo, it might, yeah, he won the Challo and then he won a handicap, I think, where he just went tearing off and then they let them come back and then just kicked away again. It might have been the Challo way. He just produced something. I thought, oh, I'd be tempted to go down the Supreme route with him.
He ended up winning. He's not short of pace, is he?
He isn't short of pace. And it was in the back of my mind when I was placing the bet on him to win the RSA. But I think that they were, he saw out the trip so well at Aintree. And when you've got a horse who has got a bit of speed about him, who stays so well, they tend to hold a big class edge. And look, we saw how good Sam Crow was the other day. They might just be trying to avoid him come March if he goes on and proves to be the horse that he was a couple of seasons ago. Whether he runs in this, I'm not sure. He said that Henderson
might have tweeted. I saw a tweet from Henderson, that they score very well and they're happy to go. But
yeah, because in the stable tour, he said that we were looking for a 2.5 mile chase to kick him off with. So I thought Birchdale might be the one in this race, but whoever they run, I mean, Birchdale, forget his running the Albert Bartlett, that can be a horrible race. The fact that he was pulled up a long way out wouldn't worry me at all. I think that only helps him for the future. He looked a horse going places, and he's reportedly schooled really, really well over fences. So two very nice novice chasers for JP Manison Henderson this season. It'd be interesting to see whether they keep them together, get them separate. I have no idea which one will run, but either, I think, is hugely exciting for the rest of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just this brilliant time of year, isn't it, where every week there's more and more horses coming out. You mentioned Sam Crow. He was brilliant the other day. Let's move on to Saturday then. Wincanton is the feature card, and we've got the Grade 2 Rising Stars Novices Chase over 2.5 miles here. Always produces a good horse. Obviously, Paul Nichols tends to target this meeting, but none of his sort of at the top of what you'd think would be the market here. Reserve Tank, I guess, is the talking horse. He was a little bit disappointing at Chepstow on Chasing debut behind, who was that horse, Fergal O'Brien's.
Can't remember what it was called.
That's fine. It'll come to me in 1 minute.
Jarvis Plate.
There you go, Jarvis Plate, yeah. Yeah, what did you think of that performance? He looked like he was going to win, and then it just didn't really happen.
Look, he got better and better over the course of the season last year. He's a massive horse. Mm. I just wonder whether he kind of just needs to get some fitness into him. I know Tizards generally can get them right first time out, but he looked like he just needed the run. The kind of way that he looked like he was just going to go and win and then stopped quite quickly, really. I think he's an exciting novice again. What he did over hurdles last season was brilliant. Looks a chaser. Didn't jump too badly in the hall. I wouldn't give up on him just yet at all, really. I think he's still one that's bang up there in the top of the novice list, and this is going to be his big test. So he's got to go and win this weekend. It'd be disappointing if, looking at the field anyway, he wasn't going to go and win well.
Yeah, exactly. That's some of the others I wrote down. Vision de Flow, another one for Tizard, and If You Say Run represents Paul Nicholls, but arguably would have to take a step up on last season's form. Binners, any thoughts on the Rising Stars novices chase?
Well, another interesting one in the race is Ballymoy for Nigel Twist and Davis. Man, he's not far away on official ratings over hurdles. He wasn't too fluent on his chasing debut, so I'm sure Nigel will have done plenty of schooling with him at home. He's interesting. And you mentioned Vision de Flow. It's a very interesting horse. Be interesting. He's entered in that race at Newbury that we just talked about and this race at Wincanton. Be interesting to see where he shows up. On his second attempt at chasing, really, he's had one go before and he unseated Tom Scudamore. So hopefully he can do better this time, but you know he'd certainly have a big shout in this race if he can take to the bigger obstacles.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting always seeing these horses that have gone hurdling then chasing. I mean, Black Op comes to mind. He looked really good at Stratford the other day. The other good race we're going to have a look at Wincanton is the Unibet Elite Hurdle. Kelderstein, Grand Sonsi, Christopher Wood, a couple of the names in here, but arguably the most interesting is Fusil, Raffles, Parky. I mean, he was very impressive when we saw him last season. Do you think he can be a champion hurdle candidate down the line?
Could well be. Juvenile's looking quite good. I mean, that Portland Hills, the form's working out quite well. Mm. It's nice performance at Punchestown. Beat a very good horse in Fakir de Dairies. It was a shame that we never got to see him at Cheltenham, really, because I think he was second favourite behind Sir Eric after his win at Sandown, where he got badly cut, I think it was, wasn't it? Kempton, yeah, of course. Hugely exciting.
It's the horse that you want to see step forward and really light up this sort of race, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Whether he's going to be challenging the likes of Bouvardaire in Classical Dream later on in the season, who knows? But he's exciting, definitely. And look, he won that race at Punchestown after all the problems that he had. Mm. That's impressive. He's had a bit of time to get over that now. And Henderson will have him spot on, I'd imagine, this season. And he'll be working backwards from whatever target they've got at Cheltenham, which I'd imagine will be the champion hurdle at this point, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to always aim high with these, haven't you? Binners, thoughts on Fusil Raffles? Were you as impressed as Parky last season?
Absolutely, yeah. I was at Kempton when he won that day, and he really set the place on fire. Shame about what happened. And the bookies aren't taking any chances with him, Maddie. He's only a 12-1 chance for the champion hurdle. Be interesting to see how he gets on this seasonal debut with a couple of others who have already ran and run well. Beat the judge was second first time out for Gary Moore, and Kel Destan won his last race and is an outside hope for the champion hurdle. We put him in at 50-1 after he won the other day. If he were to go and win again, I'm sure his odds would shorten dramatically.
Yeah, exactly that. Let's hope that he can step forward this season. We're going to take a break now before we look in more detail at some of the midweek stuff and get some next bests and some naps from the lads.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Nearly dying in a laundry basket. Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this final instalment of the Monday postcast. Now, as we've already mentioned, there's plenty of good racing this week, and we're going to get some next bests from the lads. Lots of different meetings up and down the country. Parky, before you give away your big one, who have you been sort of, who's been taking your eye this week?
I'm excited to see Bully and Air return for Harry Fry tomorrow in the 140 Exeter. He was a very good bumper horse,
yes,
and then missed a good bit of time with, got picked up a problem, returned at Ascot, was second to Did They Leave It Out 2 in a bumper. Then he was injured again. He ran last season, was pulled up. Then he was injured again. So he's very, very difficult to keep sound. But he's shown a lot of promise in them runs and he looks exciting type. If Harry Frighton just get him right.
He's a good trainer with those sort of types.
He is a good trainer and he'll find the right conditions and stuff for him. He's being declared tomorrow. Exeter's a nice track to start one off. And look, I'd like to see him get back because he could be an exciting one this season.
Yeah, nice choice. Binners?
I'm going to Kempton, Maddie, on Tuesday. The 6 furlong handicap at 6:40. One down the bottom, Velvet Morn for William Knight with Jason Watson on board. She's a course and distance winner. I'm slightly guessing that she's well in off a handicap rating of 70. She's only run in one previous run in a handicap. She was a beaten favourite under Frankie Dettori at Lingfield, but the pair had terrible luck in running. With better luck in running, I think she'll go close.
Okay, nice eye catcher. Now it's time to get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Spinners, I'll go to you first this time. Who are you putting your money on? You've had a good spin of things recently on the midweek naps.
Yeah, bit of luck, Maddie. But well, let's go for another 6 furlong handicap at Kempton. This time on Wednesday, same time, 6:40. David Ellsworth, again down the bottom, a horse called Lady Dancelot. She's been in brilliant form. She's been knocking on the door in recent starts on the turf. But on the all-weather, she's had 3 runs. She's finished first, third and fourth, so she seems to go well on the all-weather. She's a course and distance winner, and she certainly deserves a victory this season, having run third 6 times and second once.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Parky.
3:10 at Exeter tomorrow. I like For Good Measure for Philip Hobbs. His horse had a wind up over the summer. He's come back. He finished fourth, I think, a good third on his comeback, and then he won quite nicely last time with a good bit in hand. He's up £7 for that. But he's still £9 lower than his best mark. Barry Geraghty's back on. I just think that Windop's played wonders. I don't think the £7 rise will make too much difference. I think he'll win tomorrow.
Okay, thanks for that. Thanks for all your input today, guys. And the team will be back on Friday for the tipping postcast as per usual. We'll see you then.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.